much, Sarah, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please. Save it for the end in case I'm not any good. But thank you very much for the organisers for the chance to speak here, and thank you very much to my colleagues and friends for their earlier presentations and for stealing some of my thunder. It's always difficult to speak last because people have normally spoken about what you want to say, but actually it also gives me a chance to contradict and to correct some of the previous speakers as well. So I shall take that opportunity, obviously. I want to talk very much about what Oliver's just talked about, which is the challenge of getting data. And the challenge of getting data in volume for us to be able to start to do exactly what we need to do, which is to train models in a safe, secure, appropriate way that respects all of our data and respects the fact and understands the fact that if we do it badly, we create biased solutions that won't work and will actually increase health inequality when we're trying to do the opposite. First of all, very briefly, I want to tell you that I do work for a big company, but we don't consider ourselves to be a big tech company. We're not a nasty big tech company because we're Asian. We're Canon. We're Canon Medical, which is a division of Canon, the company you may well be aware of because we make printer scanners, photocopiers, document imaging solutions, cameras, all that sort of stuff. Japanese company, but we're here in Scotland. We're here in Scotland with a company that was actually an acquisition, but it was formed almost 30 years ago now. It'll be 30 years in January. That the company was founded by three guys who came out of the University of Edinburgh back here in 1994. We're now about 140 people, still based here in Edinburgh, and I'm responsible for that organisation. We work with universities day to day, and we work very closely with NHS and Scottish Government colleagues like Jonathan and his other colleagues. So just a tiny sec about what we do. So we really come from this world of imaging. Oliver's already shown you a picture of this. This is some of our most modern 3D visualizations that you get to see. But it's not good enough, actually, just to produce beautiful, pretty pictures like this. We've got to help. Now we've got to help, as Oliver's just explained, we've got to help the available humans in the system to work as efficiently as possible and try and automate some of the tasks that are drudgery and try and allow people to move forward as rapidly as possible, because the demographic challenge is unsolvable without more technology. There are just too many of us living too long in need of healthcare and not enough doctors and care staff to look after us. Very simple problem, difficult to solve though. And part of the solution is clearly AI, and I'm very proud of the fact, and we should all be proud of the fact, in this room at least, that Canon, as an international company, Japanese-owned multinational healthcare business, decided to put its AI center of excellence here in Edinburgh. And it didn't just do that because I persuaded them and I'm a really nice guy to work with and all that, and I've got really smart folk working for me. Wasn't that. It's because of the history and the opportunities here in Scotland to work with the universities you've just heard speaking earlier on today, and to work with the NHS and Scottish Government and the support we've got from all across the system here in Scotland. So Scotland really is a great place to do this work, and it's recognised by a major multinational, the decision to go and do this here. So we're very lucky, actually. The timing worked really well as well when we started this about 6 or 7 years ago. More recently than that, about 5 years ago now, some money became available from Innovate UK as part of the industrial strategy. And this was under, I don't know how many prime ministers ago, Theresa May, that there was industrial strategy and a life sciences sector deal. And it talked very much about AI, and it agreed to fund a number of different centres looking at AI within healthcare. And one of them was in Scotland, and that's the iCared Industrial Centre. I will struggle to say it as well. Industrial Centre for... it's not even here. Where does it say it? Industrial Centre for AI Research and Digital Diagnostics, which had a group of different organisations supported by Scottish Government, the CSO, Chief Scientist Officer here in Scotland, another multinational, not just ourselves, but Philips were also part of this and supported by another NVIDIA, who'd make the fantastic compute platforms that people use to do AI nowadays. And we created truly an embodiment of this triple helix model of innovation that Trish spoke about when she spoke as well. So it's absolutely that. Very difficult to put together a big consortium, though. I just mentioned this in passing. Probably a couple of years in the formation to get from the original idea to a funded project that actually kicked off at the scale of which it is. And the scale is big. So it's about, or originally a scale was about £15 million, with about £10 million coming to Scotland from Innovate UK, because they recognised our ability to create a consortium here in Scotland and to do the work that we were able to do with the support and the stakeholders we've got here in Scotland, which is great. So what happened? Well, we started off with relatively, so there's two parts of the project. One part was the bit that we're involved in as a company in radiology imaging, which is the pictures I showed you earlier on. The other part was the pathology side, which is really looking at slides. So histology slides, microscope slides, and whole slide scanning and stuff like that. So in the radiology side, we started off with a relatively modest project, three different exemplars, working across Glasgow as a site and Grampian and Aberdeen as a site, supported by the relevant NHS bodies and universities to get going. What we actually delivered during the project, ran an extra year because of COVID, actually ended up running for 4 years instead of three. We delivered much more. We created a COVID work package. We created some other work packages as well, and absolutely built a much bigger and much more comprehensive program of work that is essentially still continuing, although I will say more about that in a moment. On the pathology side, we started off with even smaller ambitions, working fundamentally with Glasgow and Phillips. But again, in fact, even more impressively, managed to build a fantastic network of projects. Why were we successful? Okay, very simple. So the model is different from the previous model of AI training in healthcare, the one that's broken and gone wrong. So instead of us as a company going to NHS and saying, give us your data, we'll take it, we'll put it in our data center, we'll put it in our in-house computers, and we'll do our training, we did the opposite of that. We said, no, you keep the data in your safe and secure environment, we will come to you. We will come to you virtually, or we'll come to you physically, we'll log into your systems securely and all that sort of stuff, and we will do our AI training within your safe haven, within your infrastructure. That model is transformational. Number of reasons why it really works. First of all, it respects the ownership and privacy and all that sort of stuff that is incredibly important for all of us as citizens, because it is our data. It's nobody else's data. It is actually our data. So it respects that, firstly. Secondly, if you do it there, you're actually not taking cleansed, exported data. You're taking the real data as it is. What does that mean? Well, that means that when you create your algorithm that uses that data, it was trained on real data, therefore it will work much better on real data. If you create a completely sanitized view of the world and you train your AI in that sanitized world, it will fail in the real world because the real world is dirty and not sanitized. So that's one of the other advantages of this model. So we changed the model, and therefore we were able to get other people recognized what we were doing was different and came here, came to Scotland. UK companies, other outside Scotland, came to Scotland to work in this way. Multinationals like ourselves and Phillips came here to do this because we're able to do it here in Scotland. Just a quick summary of the core achievements. So as Canon, we got involved in inventing the Safe Haven AI training platform, SHAPE as we call it, which is really a way in which we enable that idea that we come to the data. Pathology Lab was able to digitize a whole pile of slide scanning equipment and create a digital archive now that's available for research and ongoing use. And we created a number of different ways in which we were able to create a true partnership. And the numbers are quite astounding when you look at it. So we started off with about 15 Started off with about 15 partners and 15 million. We ended up with 40 partners and 25 million and about 250 staff working across the project. And we're able to access 75 million medical images. So when it comes to training, data and volume of data is the most important thing you need to be able to do. So I think one of the offshoots was another project that was created. This was, again, part of the project. We just came up with the idea. This was actually done in Aberdeen under the Opportunity Northeast programme, again with support from Scottish Government. There was an SBRI scheme, the Small Business Research Initiative way of funding a project. And about 100 companies came to Scotland for the teaser session to understand what was happening, because we'd created a pool, we created a reason for someone to come here and do this here, which is really about the availability of data and the willingness and the triple helix model of collaboration that was available for all of these people and innovators to come here. They say that imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. NHS England last year decided to launch a scheme of what they call the Secure Data Environment Initiatives. They backed that with almost 200 million. Now, in truth, the actual money is less than the 200 million, as ever with government announcements. And I'll say something about Scotland in a moment, and Jonathan knows I'm going to say it, and he'll hit me for it later, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. So actually, it's more like 100 and something million. But what they're doing is exactly the model we piloted here in Scotland with iCared. They're creating regional centres where you go to the data, where the innovator, whether they're a business or an academic or just an independent person, they go to the data. They use a piece of technology called federated learning to allow you to connect these individual pools of data together so that you're learning something in a truly generic way and not just creating a piece of AI that's trained in Aberdeen and will only ever work in Aberdeen because the population of Aberdeen is completely specific. Apologies from anybody from Aberdeen. I could have picked anywhere for that. And I don't think it's necessarily true that everybody from Aberdeen is identical, but I say it nonetheless, that unless you create, and this is a key thing about bias within AI training, if you want your AI to work for a global population, you have to train it on a representative global population or it won't work, just won't work. There are well-documented examples. And this idea that you go to the data, it's not realistic to have international pools of data that people can go to on a scale. What it is realistic, though, is a company or an innovator could go, do some training here in the UK with the NHS, go to the US, go to China, go to Russia, go wherever you might be able to want to go to create a representative population for the world. That's what you need to be able to do. England's doing it. We've committed to doing something in Scotland earlier, and this, as I say, Jonathan will hit me for this later. This was a commitment from Scottish Government in the programme for government for 21-22. A bunch of other things happened. This hasn't happened. But as you've already heard from Jonathan, there's a whole pile of work going on today within the NHS to make this data available, to make the platform, the level of digitization much higher. So I hope that we can get to what was originally envisaged with this commitment in a slightly different way. So I'm optimistic with that, and I'm still working on Jonathan to make sure that happens. So help me with the Q&A later on with that, if you don't mind. That's me. Thank you very much for your time. I hope that's been useful. Thank you.